Yes, we do. I paused it because I was just sitting there looking at nothing. Okay. Cancel that. Sorry, so I need to give Eric the ability to share. Well, how do I do that? Sorry.
You make him a presenter? Do you see a place where you can make him a presenter?
I'm seeing make host. I don't know if I want to make him the host, although that... Sorry, I have not done this yet. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. Well,
I guess I'll did you want to be the host, Eric, for a moment?
Sure. I'll promise to hand
okay.
it back.
If you promise to hand it back to me, I am going to make you the host. All right. You should be able to share now.
Sure am. Perfect.
Yay.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So I'm Alicia. Eric is the one sharing his screen. Eric is with Urban Development Plus Partners. He's our developer on this project. Marie is one of my community members, and we are calling ourselves Our Home Cathedral Park. We are down on the corner of Edison and Burlington Avenue. A group called Community Vision, who is a nonprofit that supports people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, purchased that parcel of land. Oh my gosh, I think it was nearly 5 years ago, with the intent to build a co-housing community that is intentionally inclusive and diverse. And so our main outreach is to make sure that we include people that experience disability, people that are below median income, and people that want to age in a home of their choice. So a variety of age, income, and ability, as well as everybody else that's in the community. So a whole range of folks. So it's not disability housing, it's not low-income housing, it's not an assisted care or, housing for people that are over 55. It's truly a full community of everyone. And it is a home ownership model. It's called Our Home because my daughter and I actually will live there. It's our home. But to do this project, I founded a nonprofit about 2.5 years ago called Our Home Inclusive Community Collaborative. And this is our first project of this type. And we are super thrilled to be in the neighborhood with you, with all of you guys. So we are building 28 units. What's the next slide, Eric?
It's a rendering.
Oh, let's do it. I'll show you the pretty picture. And then we can talk more about what. So we've got 28 units that are between one bedrooms, or actually we've got studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and potentially three bedrooms. It's a home ownership model, like I said. So it provides stability and, it's not a rental project. It is being developed and being lived in by a community of actual, the future homeowners. So it's not the type of project that a developer would come in and just build and then go away. So we're coming in as a community to help it be developed and help it be built, and then we will be a part of the community. The corner piece that you see there is our community dining area and living room area. All of the units have their own kitchens and living areas and bathrooms and washer and dryers, but we also have this big shared space that we all can gather in, both inside there and up on top. And we want to open that up to the broader community in St. John's and Cathedral Park to come to, you know, learning workshops and our pizza parties and our knitting groups and community classes. So it's truly a, you know, a community within itself and a community that wants to reach out to the larger community as well. And Eric, if you have thoughts, you're welcome to jump in at any time.
Yeah, maybe one thing to hit just briefly in case people aren't familiar with what the idea of co-housing is. I think you probably are catching on by now, but conceptually it's both a design idea and also a community programming idea. So at the broadest level, it is an intentional community, people coming together to live as a community. And the building that they're living in is designed to facilitate that. So as Alicia stated, each of these units has everything that you need to live. It's a standard condo or apartment building from that respect, but it has a lot of shared amenities. In this common space, you saw it from the other side, and this is it from the courtyard, but that's where a lot of these programming events happen, where the community will be having dinners together. Like Alicia said, reaching out to the broader community, to the neighborhood, to invite people in. It's a really interesting and novel concept that's kind of taken hold in the U.S. over the last 3 or 4 decades. And we find that it really enables not only sharing of resources. So from a financial standpoint, it's a little more sustainable. But from an environmental standpoint, it extends those same elements of sustainability. And then just from an emotional standpoint, everyone having someone to lean on, someone to trust, someone to care for and to be cared by for, it's really dramatic paradigm shift in how potentially one could live in Cathedral Park.
Mm-hmm. There's about 160, 170 active co-housing groups in the United States now. It came over from Denmark about 20, 30 years ago. And I believe that there are 15 in the Portland area. So we've got a lot of co-housing examples here in Portland of communities that have come together. And usually they come together based on a stated set of values. Some do seniors, some do very eco-based, some are more spiritual-based. And our vision is inclusive and diverse in our community. So this is the courtyard area. All of our units are designed so that we have views down onto the courtyard so that we have connection. The architecture is really pretty amazing in that it helps to support the building of community while it still gives people that live there the privacy that they need as well. A lot of people that live in co-housing are actually more introverts than extroverts, which would be the opposite of what you'd think. But the ability just to say hello to your neighbor and know that somebody is there for you gives you this sense of home and of community and of safety that people are looking for. And I think especially in the time that we're in right now, where we aren't as three-dimensionally social and gathering together at restaurants and bars, you know, and in places of worship and school and such, living in a community where we can see each other and, you know, have activities go down in the courtyard where you're open space. We wouldn't be dining together right now. You know, we would have some of the other co-housing groups that I know are making food and then making it available to take out so that you can take it back to your condo. They're having music events in the courtyard where people open up their doors and their windows to hear the music back into their places. They have poetry readings and they have movie night where people each watch their own movie, but then they have an online chat group about it, you know, they're watching the same movie. So it's just a way of building a community where you've got proximity, but you aren't necessarily living under all the same roof, but you're not as spread out as a broader, you know, larger city or neighborhood. We have parking underneath the courtyard there. We've got parking for 15. The tallest that we go is 3 stories above ground. We're on this beautiful sloping site, so it allows us to put our parking down underneath and still stay at a fairly low profile.
Yeah. you can see the slope here a little better. So it's essentially two buildings of three stories, one three stories here, and then another three stories that is graded lower down the slope.
Oh, I had a question. Is this street that we're seeing, is it Burlington or is it Edison?
So that's Edison right there. And then Burlington heads towards Forest Park there. And there's a large LID, is it Local Improvement District? It's through Oregon PBOT. What does PBOT stand for, Eric?
Portland Department of Transportation.
Thank you. So that street all along there through the community garden and back up that hill is going to be improved and sidewalks put in. So that's a part of a larger project. We're responsible for this in this development to do a half a street improvement, but we've partnered with PBOT to do a larger project. So it gets better access, you know, for fire and emergency vehicles or anything that needs to come through there, which I think will help the neighborhood, I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I know that street well, and it's pretty hard to walk on currently. So
Yeah, I need some work.
Yep. And we're really thrilled to be right next to a community garden. So being a part of the community in that way as well, I think is an amazing opportunity for us and for the larger community. Do you want to go on to the other drawings?
I just wanted to give a sense of what these units are like. So despite the fact that this is a very shared and amenitized community, there's a lot of focus going into not only the overarching design, but also the interior design of each of these units. So if it hasn't come across, these are all, it's an ownership model. Everyone's going to be an owner of their own individual unit and then sharing of the common spaces. And we anticipate a very responsible, respectful, engaged group here that cares not only for themselves and wants a nice space to enjoy for themselves, but is very community-centered in the way that they view the world. So that's something as a developer, and if my role hasn't been described, with Urban Development Partners, a local development company, we are the West Coast's only development company that partners with communities to develop co-housing, as far as I'm aware. And something that we take a lot of stake in is creating these communities, whether it's in our speculative developments or in some of these partnership developments. Community is really the name of the game for us. And so this fits right into our wheelhouse. And something that we really value is the ability for these communities to create really just robust internal community, but also an extension to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. When we were looking at who we were going to have to develop this community, we interviewed a few different developers. And when I met UDP, I've described them as a developer with a heart, which isn't always true of big development groups. So we're really lucky that they have taken us on as a community. And one of the things about the inclusion and the diversity, all of the units are fully accessible. They're all universally designed. So if you're on wheels or use a mobility device, you can get anywhere in your unit, anywhere in the community, and anyone can come to visit you, or you can go to visit any of your friends. So for an age in place opportunity, if you're not wanting to use stairs, we've got that dialed in. We're also using trauma-informed design and providing sight lines and some breakout spaces for people that, you know, like larger groups, like smaller groups. So neurodiversity is a really important piece that we're designing for. So the design of it has been thoughtfully put together, and we're building for the long haul. This is not a short-term build. Our members that are buying their units, some of them are going to be on a more fixed income. So we want to make sure that we're building a strong building from the very beginning so that we don't have a lot of surprises down the road. Our intention is to subsidize 6 units at a range of income from 50% of median family income up to 100% of MFI. And 100%, we know that 100% of MFI and market rate units usually aren't on the same path, on the same level, especially in Portland, not at all. So we're you know, we're wanting a variety of income, not all affordable, not all market rate, but a good mix of all of that together. As far as people who experience disability, I wanted to, we talked about the sixth, the number of affordable units. Our goal for people who experience disability, about 20% of us in our lifetime experience disability in community. And so that's our goal for our membership, as well as having about 20-25% of our homeowners either experience disability or have somebody in their family that does. Again, that's a really common mix, or a very natural mix, of able-bodied and people who experience disability. You can see the layout between the different levels here. We've got an elevator that comes up that central core, parking slid underneath and covered. And the lot does not require us to do any parking, but we wanted to make sure that we did provide a good chunk of parking for both the neighborhood and for the people that are buying our units and are going to be our neighbors inside the community. Big common space up on top of the parking, and then a second tier of community gathering area on top of that. And then you can see this is our first floor plan, the two bedrooms, studios, one bed, one bath units, a good mix of sizes. They're all, they're not robust in size. We've kept our units fairly small, both to help with the price points coming to market. Even though they will be market rate units, we don't want to blow out of market rate by providing too large spaces. But you can do smaller spaces in co-housing, because you've got all of this community area that everybody has access to. So we have our second living room, and we have our second kitchen and dining areas. We have laundry. We have lots of bike parking. We're Portland, so we have a dog washing station, of course. So it has a lot of, you know, both private spaces and semi-private, semi-public, and public spaces as well. And then just going on up the next floors.
One thing I want to state is co-housing really is for people who are not going to necessarily be spending all of their time in their unit. If people were buying these units at the prices that we'll have them available for, they'd probably choose to move somewhere else that's going to provide them with a larger living room. But as we see it, the people who are going to enjoy co-housing are the people who are going to enjoy those amenity spaces together. And so when you're buying this unit, you're not just buying the square footage in the unit. You're really, you know, getting a 3,000 square foot unit when you include all of the common amenities that everyone's going to be able to enjoy.
Right. We also have down on the lower floor in the, can you kind of do the little circle where the guest unit is down in that area right below the living room there. So in co-housing, folks often, you know, say I have a studio apartment, my mom comes to visit, instead of having her on a blow-up mattress or me on a blow-up mattress in the middle of my living room, I can, for $25 or $50 a night, I can rent the shared guest room for the space. It also allows people from other co-housing groups to come into our co-housing group, get to know Portland, get to know us as a community. So that's a nice shared amenity that's in our space as well. So this is just to give you kind of an idea of where we're at on the timeline. We started back in March of 2013 is when I started working on this project. I had at that time an 11-year-old daughter named Neva, who's an awesome human being and now is 18 years old. She experiences disability, and I had been looking at where do people that experience disability go when they're adults and want to have their own lives and want to start to move on from their families. And I didn't like what I saw and looked for other diverse and inclusive communities, and we weren't finding them. So that's when we started to talk to other groups of families that were in the same situation as me, that had both parents that were aging and young children that were turning into adults, sort of the meat of the sandwich generation. And that's where this project was birthed from, is a need that wasn't out there. And so we partnered with some really smart people and started to get this off the ground. We formed a nonprofit. We bought land. We've raised about a little over $1 million in funding that comes in as the base funding, the pre-development money. And then our members come into this development LLC or development entity together and help us take it the rest of the way. And then each member has their own mortgage at the very end, and we pay off all the people that we owe money to, and the nonprofit gets paid back so we can go forward and do more of these types of communities later on. So we just finished the beautiful design that you saw there. That's considered 50% of schematic design. We still have more design to do and more community members to bring in. So if you know of people that are interested in being a part of something bigger than just themselves and their own small lawn, and you know, having community support and that stability that we're all looking for on Maslow's hierarchy of needs so that we can go on and be actualized and all of that, you know, filling in our lowest level of security needs, please let us know. We are about 2 years out before all of the units are complete, but we're gathering community together right now. And we need to have 75% of our members together before we break ground in August. So you'll start seeing some construction happening late next summer. But we are definitely starting to get together now and bring people and build our community at this point. Is there anything else, Eric, that you want to add?
That's great. I'm curious to hear what the neighborhood thinks of it.
Yeah.
Can I ask does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I got my hand up.
Oh, I can't see anything. So, Eric.
Okay.
I guess.
Give him back control.
Yeah, do you want me to hand back control? I can stop sharing.
Leave it there so we can look at some things.
Sure, of course.
My name is Faith. I'm on the board. I want to thank you for putting parking in there. I get very keen on having developers provide parking, even though you haven't provided all of it, at least you provided some, which is better than a lot of other develops in our neighborhood have done in the past.
Yeah.
I am a little confused. Would you draw up the picture of the map of where it is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like a square block that you're putting in there, right? Right.
Essentially, it's a half an acre of land. It's right beside the community garden.
Yeah. Okay. So it's from the community garden down to Burlington.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are a bunch of houses in there, right? So you're going to tear all those down, right?
Yeah. There's a condemned house that's there right now. And then there's a small kind of studio house, and then a larger older structure. So those will be torn down.
Okay.
The condemned house is due to be removed soon because it's been condemned, I think, for 4 or 5 years.
It's not surprising that you're going to develop that land. Did I see solar collectors on the roof of one of those buildings?
Yes. So we're partnering with Solar for All, and we've written a grant to get solar to bring electricity in for our affordable units and our common spaces to help keep those affordable units affordable moving forward. And we're going to try to get enough on there to bring in enough power for the whole community. That's one of those budget items of whether or not I can get fancy and write more grants or raise the funds for that.
Okay,
so
I don't think I have any more questions, but it is a beautiful design. I like the fact that you are trying to get a diverse community in there, addressing a disability. I'm happy for the solar collection. You seem to have a lot of grass and what's this thing here down here? That's a fence?
This here is, that's basically our courtyard is just slightly above grade. And so what you're seeing there is a wall, a
transparent like a screen.
Wall down into the screen.
Oh, it's, okay.
The parking.
Yeah, so the parking's under there.
Okay. So all of this is all open here and this is open here. So it isn't all one piece of concrete.
Right.
out there, yep, or a bunch of roofs. So I'm happy to have these. I'm very pleased with it, and be interested to see how it moves along.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I also wanted to say I'm just a resident of the neighborhood. I live on Salem Avenue. I just wanted to say this is a really beautiful design. I often read the blog Next Portland, which have like all like the architectural renderings of new developments, and this is like one of the really greatest ones that I've seen my few years of reading that blog. And one of my questions was, are you going to use like native plantings and trees in the landscaping?
We haven't really gotten that far, and that's one of the things that as the community starts to come together, we all get to lean in together and have those conversations. That's one of the things around co-housing, is that we make decisions as a community. We're sort of getting it off the ground and started as a few founding members, and that's how we've managed to do all of this architecture and design. But I want to make sure that we leave like designing the common area and designing the courtyard to the larger community, so everybody feels like they have a part of it, of themselves as well. We've talked to the water lab down the road from Burlington, and their plantings are all native, and you know, this gorgeous collection of plants. And we'd love to have them maybe advise us on some of the plantings that we do, because we've got that great example just down the road. And because we've got the community garden right next door to us, we don't really need to use them as garden beds. We can use them as just gathering spaces, and we want them to be sustainable and work with the environment. So that's the intention.
Awesome concept and goals. So really appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks. Also, I wanted to mention that I work for a research institute that specializes in aging in place research. So once this is off the ground, we'd probably be really happy to partner with y'all.
Yeah, no, click in. You can get in touch with me, and John can get you in touch with me. I'd love to hear what you guys are doing. I mean, this is a great chance to, if there are things that we haven't thought of yet, and before it's designed and complete, let's have those conversations early and see what we can do together. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys. So let's get in touch.
Okay.
Could I ask Alicia, a question?
Oh, yep, go ahead.
Sorry. I'm wondering, once everything's built and developed and people have moved in, how will the property be managed?
So it's a good question. So co-housing, there's no outside HOA or management. It's all the people, everyone who is a part of the co-housing group is a part of the HOA. So we meet and decide how things are maintained. We have our own reserves in our HOA. We do a lot of the maintenance ourselves, and then we hire out for other things that need to have happen. But we are, you know, we are an active part of managing and making sure that this community stays strong and put together. So it's not owned by anybody else other than us. It's a condo association.
Additionally, for the first 10 years, my company, UDP, will be on the hook to basically guarantee the quality of the construction. So we'll be doing annual, potentially semi-annual tours, inspections of the building to ensure that all of our waterproofing and exteriors and everything remain well constructed.
Great.
I love it that UDP stays involved that long. That you know, we've all heard horror stories of condos that are built not up to code or not up to snuff and end up with major bills down the road. And you know, I'm pleased that I am a part of a development with a responsible developer, because like we've said, this isn't one that's built and then walked away from. It's actually the community that's going to be living there as it goes forward. So we're especially cautious and conscious of how things are being put together. We're not just going in and buying a unit once it's all done, having no idea how it was put together. They have all these watchdogs that are watching them all along the process. I can't believe that they've actually stepped in to do, to develop co-housing. It's very gutsy to have this many clients and this many people that they're developing for. So
it is very fun though.
Good. Is there any other questions or anything else that we can answer for you? The website that we have is going to go live the end of this week. So our drawings are not up on the website right now. It's mostly the nonprofit that's being featured on our website. I was really hoping to have it up today before this meeting, but we didn't quite get there. So if you have any questions later on and just want to watch us or want to be a part of our newsletters, John can put you in touch with us and we're happy to give you updates. We do a monthly newsletter. We're going to be doing some learn about sessions, talking about this community every couple weeks. And so that would be a great way for folks in the Theater Park Neighborhood Association to learn more about us and pass our information on to their friends so that we could build our community. I would love to, if with your permission, add you to our newsletter and our update website, email list, that's what I'm looking for. Add you to our email list so that we keep you apprised of things that we're doing.
Yes, that should be fine. And I have a few things to probably, I'll probably do it via email, just some things that your conversation spurred that you might want to be aware of, just things that we've had, studies that we've had done in our neighborhood, transportation, mobility, things like that, that it might be good for you to be aware of, just as, you know, we go forward, so I'll forward those to you and not bring up a whole nother topic at this time.
Great.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Anyone else have any other questions? So the one question I had was, are you right up against John Street on the south side of your property?
Is that Levitt? I think that's...
I'll have to look. But if you are on John, that is also a LID, LID, which would have some development happening. But that would be more developer talk.
Yeah, I think it's all connected. I think that LID goes all the way through to John. I know that it started out just along our block and then it continued to blossom. So we've got a lot of new street going in there now and a lot of new water catchment and runoff management that's going to improve.
And I can probably give you, I'll forward you Jennifer Vitello's information too, because she's our transportation chair, and she kind of knows a lot of information about that if there's more that you need to know or anything from Cathedral Park perspective.
So. I think I actually, she used to be the chair of Cathedral Park, right? Mm-hmm. I think I met with her way back when we had just purchased this land to do a little walkabout and say, I asked her, what are you looking for in your community? And she looked at me like I was out of my mind. She's like, developers don't ask people what they're looking for in their community. What are you doing? But I'm like, I really want to know. I'm going to be living here. I want to know what we can build that will make people happy. The last thing I want to do is propose something that, people show up with pitchforks and torches and say, we don't want that here. So I've met her a couple times. She's awesome.
Cool. Good. So
looking forward to reconnecting with her.
And Eric, if no one has any more questions, if you can turn it back over to me, that would be, there's someone who wants to get in.
Done.
Ah, perfect. There we go. Okay. Cool. Well, I thank you so much for sharing. This was great. I'm really looking forward to the development. And so basically summer of 2022 is when you're kind of looking to be done, is what I gathered from what you were saying.
Summer, fall, kind of in there,
Yeah, okay. Cool. Very
exciting. Depending on global pandemics and
that. I'm sure that affects all of us in different ways.
Yeah. Well, thank you for letting us present to you guys today, and we'll let you have the rest of your meeting.
Yeah.
totally available for any questions or feedback that you have. And yes, would love to connect with everybody and get people's names on websites. So
awesome. Perfect. And you're welcome to stay if you want, or go if you want. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you guys go ahead and leave at this time.
So I've got a hungry family, so I'm going to go feed them. Yeah.
Okay. Before you feed your family, one last question. Did you say that the improvement on Edison, the lid that's on there, is that going to happen around the same time, or is you coordinating that with your building? Because I don't know when that LID is going to go, but it goes from Richmond to Burlington, I think.
They've started the bid process now. It's a kind of a separate thing because PBOT organizes that and does the construction for it. We just pay for a chunk of it. So I believe that they're out to bid now. There's some talk that it may be this fall or maybe next spring. Okay. It was supposed to happen 2 years ago, so it's been pushed out.
But, yeah. I kind of thought it was happening earlier.
Yeah, yeah. But they're kind of on their own timeline.
Thank you.
I'll fill you in. It's the street. It's just the street design. It's not our building. It's just the street.
Okay,
folks. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was really, really good. I'm going to go ahead and let's go back to the Willamette Cove letter and just do a formal vote on that letter. Let me share my screen and get that back up. Please accept, this is a letter to the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality regarding the Willamette Cove upland cleanup plan. Basically, I'll try to go quickly. Please accept this perspective on the future of Willamette Cove from Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association, the neighborhood which encompasses the Willamette Cove property. We believe the current vision of Metro for Willamette Cove is rooted in the past. When the vision for the cove was last updated, the waterfront of the Cathedral Park neighborhood was under the St. John's Bridge was primarily zoned industrial with some commercial zones. The residential areas were away from the water or up on the bluff and primarily single family with some smaller apartment complexes. The business district was downtown St. John's, and the primary routes in and out of the neighborhood were Willamette Boulevard, Lombard, etc. Edgewater Street was the only access, which was blocked to prevent cars from using it, and pedestrians were discouraged from exploring due to the lack of signage. So the idea is it was basically Willamette Cove was separate from the community. Faith, do you have a, go ahead.
I just would, maybe this is out of line because you want to vote for that. After that, we need to approve the agenda in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, we can do that. It makes sense that Metro would view this area as a low traffic area where contaminated soil could be collected and kept safely out of the way of the community with limited human contact, but this is not the case currently. Cathedral Park neighborhood specifically on the North Portland Peninsula has changed since that time, and the vision for Willamette Cove needs to change also. The residential areas of Cathedral Park have experienced infill with multifamily complexes and townhouses replacing single family homes and filling up empty lots. So I basically go on to talk about the growth of the neighborhood as well as University of Portland moving down onto the waterfront area on the other side of the Burlington Northern Railroad. In short, the community surrounding Willamette Cove has changed. What was once an isolated area that was mostly unknown to even nearby neighbors will be discovered by North Portland community members and Portlanders from all over the city as they pass through on foot or on bicycle. CPNA believes that a full removal of the contaminated soil will provide a safer environment for the neighbors who live there now and for the people who will discover Willamette Cove via the NP Greenway in the future. A full removal will also expand the possibilities for what the site can be used for in the future as the community grows. So I'm hoping that we can send that out with the blessing of the Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association. So let's go ahead and I will make a motion to approve this. What's that?
You can't make the motion. You can ask for a motion, but you're the chair, so you can ask for a motion.
Ask for a motion then.
And I will make a motion to send this letter on, and thank you very much. You need a second.
We have a second.
Jen, who's there?
I'll second.
Thank you.
I was waiting to see if Nico would. He's back.
So all in favor of sending the letter?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, so I will send out that letter this week. So let's take a moment to go back. And let's look at our agenda for a moment. Jen, do you have... I guess I can share my agenda on the screen.
I move that we approve the agenda. Somebody has to second it.
I have to second it.
Thank you.
Okay, all in favor of the agenda?
And the agenda is basically for everyone else who has not seen it already. The Willamette Cove update that John just gave and the presentation. Oh, there it is. Sorry. I just wanted to, we are asking for people to say whether they approve or not. Just wanted to indicate what was on it.
Okay, where is it?
You should be able to.
I had a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How many meetings do you have to attend before you can vote on things?
This is
That's a really good question.
This is a general. I don't
know. So you are considered, Nico, is it two meetings?
It's two meetings, yeah. The bylaws are on the Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association website. But yeah, it should list out two meetings.
Okay. Yeah. So if this is my second one, then the next meeting?
Yes.
No. Okay. Cool.
Yes. Okay, so any opposition to the agenda?
It isn't on there where we did the code letter. Turn code down with it. Okay, so we had the master plan in the Cathedral Park thing.
Oh, yes. Sorry, John. I don't have the letter.
So somebody can throw that in there.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of jumping around a little bit. Was probably what could be included in my committee report.
Okay, so we should have in there the fact that we had the presentation from the Our Home people and that we approved that letter on our that was on agenda.
Yes.
That we added to it before we approved it.
And is that in place, John, of the master plan or is it also?
What was that?
Is the letter in place of the master plan, Cathedral Park master plan?
Nope. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. That's okay. My next agenda.
That's fine. I just want to make sure. I'll update that though.
Thank you.
That I was just trying to get that one in. The only reason I started that was because Our Home was. I wanted to wait for a couple more people to show up for that. So
it's all fine.
Understand.
Okay. All right. So we're back on track here. So let's go ahead and what's that?
Can we approve the minutes of March 10th, June 9th, and July 14th? I move that we approve the minutes.
Okay, I read those and I will second that.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Does not sound like it. Okay, so the minutes from March, June, and July have been approved. Okay, so let's go back to new business and let's talk about the Cathedral Park Master Plan. I'm going to Share this, basically. Actually, I'm going to get out of sharing my screen. Okay.
Oh, we should introduce ourselves. I don't know who these people are. Can we do that?
Yeah, let's go around and introduce ourselves. My name is John Smart. I'm the chair of Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association. Ona?
Hi, this is the second meeting that I'm attending. I attended one last year, and I have lived in the neighborhood for about 3 years now. I live in one of the townhomes on Salem Avenue.
Okay.
Go ahead, Faith.
Oh, I'm Faith Ruffing. I live on Edison Street. I've been in the Neighborhood Association for 3 or 4 years. And welcome to all of you people who are showing up, because the more there are of us, the better it is.
I can go. Hey, Nika Smith, I'm on backup laptop right now. I am communications as well as treasurer for Cathedral Park. Been here since May of 3 years ago.
Sarah?
Hi, my name is Sarah Chivers, and I am the secretary of your neighborhood, of your neighbors on Richmond. We're the Bridgeview Condominium Association. We're about 18 units. I've lived in, we've owned the unit since 2006, and are experiencing some pretty significant growing pains in our community. Have a lot of folks that have been living in the building since it was built on a tax abatement, and people who are flooding us from other parts of the country with quite a bit of wealth. And our challenge as a neighborhood association is to meet the needs of everyone in our community. And so I, as the secretary, also somebody that's interested in community development, community organizing, and environmental justice, thought you guys would be probably the first place to start really connecting and building some significant relationships. So just thank you for letting me listen in. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Sarah,
did you say Bridgeview Neighborhood Association?
Yeah, BCA. Okay. Yeah.
I think I've emailed you in the past, possibly. Have you been around for a while there at Bridgeview?
For a while I was the treasurer, now I'm the secretary, but we've had a lot of shifts in our board and stuff, so I don't know that we've connected at all, but yeah.
I might be thinking of something else, sorry.
When the big development craze started happening, you know, and the rezoning, I think there was a lot, maybe we caught each other during that, yeah.
Okay, all right. And then I see Rob somewhere on there. Oh, I can't hear you.
You might be able to mute him, unmute him.
I was trying.
You might be able to do that.
Oh. I don't seem to be able to.
Oh, there he is. He's unmuted now. We can't hear you.
Still can't hear you. Sorry.
We can read your lips and we know what you said.
Hi, Rob.
You can write it in chat.
Yeah, chat if you need to ask a question or anything.
I'll go now. I'm Jen Myers-Howell. I live on Edgewater Avenue and am the secretary of the Neighborhood Association.
Cool. Good. Thank you all for joining us. I appreciate it. It's been a little disconjointed a little bit just because of sharing and giving someone else hosting abilities. We've kind of made me a little nervous there for a few minutes. But yes, thank you for joining us. So I just wanted to talk about Cathedral Park. We had a very significant meeting on Thursday which I was not able to make due to an emergency that happened at my work, but I was able to meet with Laura Knudsen from the EPA, had a good conversation with her, and she kind of filled me in on everything that was going on with that meeting. So I want to just review what happened. There it is. So on Thursday, so this started off, this meeting came about as a result of a letter that was sent out by Portland Harbor Community Coalition that Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association signed on with, as well as other community organizations, basically asking the, lost track of my train of thought there. So we sent a letter to the EPA and other agencies involved with the Superfund site, asking that they review the Cathedral Park, basically the Cathedral Park master plan, which is specifically the park, not the neighborhood, that was developed in 2009. And in that plan, there was language that said that in order for some of anything development to happen down on the waterfront, that more testing for toxins would need to happen before anything could be developed down along the waterfront. So that we used that language to kind of say, what's going on with the park? How safe is it? Can we get a review on this? And it was actually very welcomed by the EPA. It was very welcomed by the other agencies, and it seems to have really spurred everyone to kind of say, why did we leave this for now? A bunch of remedial design has happened all over the Willamette River through the Superfund site, and they kind of left Cathedral Park alone. Let me look real quick. Yes, that's the one I'm talking about. Okay, so what's exciting about this, sorry, I got away from my notes again. They met on Thursday. It was a really positive response to the letter. Essentially what's happening is that the last samples that were taken from down along the water were from 2002. So it's really been a long time since they've really even gone back and looked at it. One of the officials that was dealing with that type of thing apologized and actually said that this should have been one of the first areas that was addressed, not one of the last. Based on the samples from 2002, there's a very low risk for wading, swimming, and playing in the water. So anything down in the water is very low risk, but it is high risk for eating residential fish that is caught out of there. So residential fish would be carp or bass, things that live in that area full time. If it's a salmon or steelhead or something like that that's moving through the area, there's less chance that those are going to be exposed to the toxins that are in the water. So there are, but so the bad news is that there are hot spots on either side of the park in the water, that they're and along the shore. There are levels of arsenic and polycyclical aromatic hydrocarbons, which we call PAH for short. So not to get too technical on that kind of stuff, because I'm not a scientist, so I'm not sure exactly. It's basically just stuff, cancer-causing agents and things like that. The things along the shoreline were at levels that would not trigger cleanup necessarily for the EPA. So, but what is going to happen is more testing. So they're going to see if things are shifting at all along that waterfront, if the hot spots around have moved at all. So basically what has happened is the letter has spurred the EPA to take this seriously. They actually appreciated it because it's brought it back to their attention. And soon they're actually meeting with potential responsible parties on the 18th, which I think is Monday, if I'm remembering right, or Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. So that will begin to determine who's going to be involved with the remedial design and the cleanup and how the design will proceed. They've also added Cathedral Park to the September 16th EPA online forum that will happen on September 16th. So it'll be one of the focus topics. So if you join that, you'll get more information about what has happened over the next four weeks or so. And so that's essentially the short of it anyway. So do you guys have any questions about that? Did I make any kind of sense in explaining that?
That's pretty spot on for me, John. Thank you.
Okay, good. So the exciting thing is the letter really has spurred them to take it seriously, and there's movement happening, and hopefully the other piece of information that I didn't really share was that the City of Portland had a representative there from Portland Parks, and they had a conversation with Cassie, kind of a side conversation. So Laura didn't really know exactly where that conversation ended, but she thinks that Portland Harbor Community Coalition is planning to meet with the Portland Parks to talk about the Cathedral Park master plan. So the hope is that we can, the combination of the cleanup and revisiting the master plan, that we can get some improvements at the park. Go ahead, Owen.
Yeah, and I was just reading that whole plan yesterday out of curiosity because COVID has given me a lot more time to do other things. I was just gonna ask if since that plan was published in like 2008, 2009, if anything has really happened, because just walking around the park over the years, I haven't seen much come to fruition.
No, I think it was basically part of budget cuts and never got funded. So they funded a study, they got the study, they made a plan, and then never funded the actual work. So it's kind of just sat there for 11 years. So the hope is that they'll revisit that, maybe take some elements of it so they kind of have a starting place. Maybe they don't have to start from zero. And then redevelop that plan with things that'll fit more with, you know, even in 10 years, 11 years, the neighborhood has changed dramatically, and there's a lot of changes that are going to be happening, obviously, with the development we just talked about, and there's more things that are kind of planned along along the Willamette River, if those ever come to fruition. It's been a few years now on some of those. But anyway, so it's very exciting. Be able to say that. And I did bring up with Laura in our conversation the Frog Ferry, which she was not aware of at all, which I don't know if you guys are aware of, but there's a ferry that's in the early development stages. City of Portland put some money towards a feasibility study this year. It wouldn't be until about 2024 that everything, if everything goes as they're planning, 2024 is their target for starting this ferry service. But they're looking at Cathedral Park as one of the locations.
And then John, for the Frog, it was proposed it'd run from Vancouver down to Clackamas, right?
Yes, I think it would go all the way to Lake Oswego, I think.
Thanks.
Is it at least their goal? I mean, how far they actually take it, who knows?
Yeah, but at one point it was almost all privately funded from a study standpoint. It was just very recently the city decided to put money at it, right?
Yeah, I think it was last fall and that they voted, the city council voted to, I want to say it was $300,000, but I'm not I don't want to just throw out a number. That's sort of.
Was it 400,000?
400,000.
Oh wow.
Oh, nice. So that's exciting to maybe get that into to be able to talk and get that into Laura's mind that, you know, and hopefully be able to get in with this meeting that they're having with Portland Parks and kind of, you know, make sure that the information is out there, that people who are making decisions are actually getting what is going on and what people are interested in trying to make happen in the neighborhood. So any questions, comments about that?
That's a great update, John. Thank you. I found it very easy to get access to the EPA meeting also, so I'll include that link in the instruction or in the minutes.
Okay.
And we can send it out if you're interested. It's really easy if you just search for Portland, what is it? Portland Harbor, the Superfund site. The EPA, I think, does a really fantastic job, and it gives you the option to ask questions ahead of time if you have any. So if you have questions or comments, but I'll add that to the announcements.
Okay, sounds good.
I just
heard something. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I was really impressed with the plan. I didn't read all of it, but the little bit that I didn't realize there was a beach down there. I don't know if you can swim off that beach, but I think I might want to go check it out. But I'm glad we're moving forward in updating this, along with all the other exciting things that are happening that we just talked about.
Yeah. Yes, and one of the things I'm hoping that we can talk about as a neighborhood association at some point is trying to help the Cathedral Park Jazz Festival with the covering for the stage, essentially. It's really outdated and everything. And with how things are with COVID, I was sort of just trying to ramp that up back in March, and everything just sort of, became very gray of what could actually happen. So I'm planning to get in contact with the director of the Jazz Festival and just try to see the best way to help them and to possibly, I don't know if they could be part of this master plan, if the city would fund it, or if it's something we'd have to raise money for. But anyway, something to keep in mind for future meetings here. Okay, so any other, any other reports? Nico, do you have a report for us?
Howdy, y'all. Same thing I mentioned on the board meeting. Our checking account is what we expected to be at. It's at $946. The tree fund hasn't been touched. So yeah, we're pretty stable at the moment. I imagine our $400 reimbursement for communications for things such as Zoom right here is at the mailroom. So at some point we'll get them. I believe MJK recently sent out the passcode to get to our mail. So
yes.
At some point we can swing in and just, we can just grab it.
I think she said she's going to be there tomorrow. So I'm out of town, but if anyone is able to contact her and maybe swing by and grab it, I can try and get it early next week.
Yeah, I'll probably just swing by at some random time I can with the passcode and just grab it.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, Nico.
Yeah, thank you. And that's I can put the approved minutes whenever they're amended or the agenda onto the website, for example, along with the recording here of this call as well, since it was pretty interesting today.
Yeah.
I'll get that to you tonight, Nico.
Yeah, no rush. Whenever it's done. I'll upload it as a PDF. As soon as I get a new GPU in the mail, my desktop overheated and died on me.
Oh.
So a couple days, I'll do it.
So what is the communications email again, Nico?
It's you'll find it on the Cathedral Park website. It's communications@cathedralparkpdx.org.
Okay, cool.
It's a mirror of yours. You swap out communications for chair.
And then we have, I also have an email that's chair@cathedralparkpdx.org. So if you need anything from the neighborhood association. Either one of those emails is
I believe, active. And I believe both the emails are listed on the website under board, I believe. So they should be publicly available.
Yes, good. Okay, Faith, did you have an update on anything?
No, I did not.
Okay. Jen?
No update for me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, does anyone have any announcements? I'll give one. The Willamette Cove that we've been talking about, but a different section of it is going to be closed from August 15th to October 31st for sampling. There's two different things happening. The upland site is what Metro is taking care of, and that's the letter that we were talking about earlier in the meeting. But the city of Portland is responsible for the water line, essentially the in water is what it's called. So they're working with the state of Oregon and the EPA on that section. So the upland portion, basically where the riverbank comes up and levels off all the way back to the bluff, is Metro. And everything from that section out to the water is the city of Portland. So anyway, that remedial plan is still in the sampling and testing process before they actually come up with a cleanup plan. And that's another thing we're hoping that Metro is communicating with the city of Portland, and we can get everybody who's responsible actually talking about their plans, which I think is starting to happen. So anyway, it's closed down there. I don't know why they're making that big of a deal of it, because you're not really supposed to go down there anyway, but they're just making sure that everybody knows that Willamette Cove is closed in certain sections for testing.
John, as soon as I get my GPU in the mail, I'll post on the website about the closure.
Okay, cool. And then if anyone's interested, if any of the board members are interested tomorrow, I'm not able to attend this meeting, but there's the CAG, the Portland Harbor CAG, is holding a meeting to discuss how the EPA is going to communicate with the community, basically the database that they have for all of the cleanup that's happening along the Willamette. So they're trying to figure out the best way. They're trying to get feedback from the community how we want to be communicated to. They have a ton of information, and everybody complains about not being able to get information. So they're just trying, it's in all these different places, and they're trying to get it in one spot. So if you're a fisherman, you can go there and find out, the warnings on the different fish and the different areas where there might be a hot spot or something that you should avoid, or if you're a developer, that you can go and find out, levels of toxicity and things that you have to be aware of when you're purchasing property or starting to develop. Anyway, all of that information they want to try to get in one spot, which seems like a Herculean task. But anyway, there's a meeting tomorrow. I'm just throwing it out there if anybody does have that. I think they're holding two different meetings, one from 3 to 5 and one from 6 to 8. So if you're interested, let me know and I can give you the information. And that's pretty much all I have for announcements. Any other announcements?
I can just announce that our next board meeting, I anticipate, will be via Zoom still, Tuesday, September 1st at 6:30. And then the next general meeting via Zoom, I presume, Tuesday, September 8th at 7 o'clock.
And then just to clarify, John, for board meetings, the public is more than welcome to attend, but there just can't be active participants, correct?
Yes, yeah. Public is welcome to attend the board meetings to hear what's going on. They're probably, right now, they've been very similar to what hasn't been a lot of difference in the meetings, just kind of more of the information. But yeah, and we're somewhat open to people communicating and everything, but if it gets, you know, it's generally meant for the board to be able to communicate specific, you know, making plans for the general meeting to share and everything. So we might silence people if it gets, you know, out of hand or something, which it never has. So it's fine. I always just like to warn people in case I silence them. Okay, so if there's no other announcements or anything, am I allowed to move to adjourn? Or
I'll move to adjourn.
A second.
Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Bye.
Bye.
Great. Hey, thank you guys very much for joining us and listening to all this stuff. I know it was a little disjointed tonight, but we'll see you again soon, hopefully.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Is that Rob? I heard you speak. Okay. Bye-bye.